Okay, so welcome back. I think this is our 10th Rakuk Shir, which is fantastic. So thank you all for coming and for keeping this going strong. Maybe we'll take a summer break at some point. So what we were doing the last couple of times we met was going through different pieces of Rav Kook's picture of Zionism. First, we discussed the nature of Am Yisrael, according to Rav Kook, and then we discussed the nature of Eretz Yisrael and how Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael come together to create this very potent force. And the very fact that Am Yisrael is interested in coming back to Eretz Yisrael means that the world is coming closer to a point of perfection. And we discuss how, according to Rav Kook, first the physical land gets built up, and then the spiritual renaissance that's supposed to take place is built on top of that. And we discussed way back when, at the very beginning, according to Rav Kook, this is not just like Jews are in Chutz Laaretz and they experience Judaism in one way. Then they come to Eretz Yisrael. They just happen to be in Eretz Yisrael. They get to do more mitzvos. But the texture of Judaism itself changes. Mitzvos become more of a tanud, become more of a pleasure. Things become more natural. Things become more holistic. And all of these things are supposed to, these processes are all supposed to come together. And if you read Rav Kook, the impression you get is that this process is beginning. It's unfolding. It's happening. You know, Rav Kook was born in 1865. He made Aliyah in the year 1904. And he saw the second Aliyah. He saw that there were hundreds of thousands of Jews that came to Eretz Israel. By 1948, there were 600,000 Jews here. He saw the development of chakwot. He saw the development of agriculture and cities, and the fact that nationalism was on the rise. Rav Kook's writing is extremely, extremely optimistic. It seems like it's a process. It's going to be a process, but it's a process that is unfolding as we speak, and we're going to get to that state of the quote that we had from Rav Kook, the Medinat Yisrael, talking about a future state. The Medinat Yisrael is Yisod Kisei Malchus Hashem Bo'olam. It is the foundation of Hashem's throne in this world. Everything about living in this country is going to scream out Hashem Echad Shemo Echad. It's going to be the highest level of Osher, highest level of happiness that any human being can ever imagine. And that is all from Rav Kook. Rav Kook has a couple of more pessimistic pieces, mostly written when he was in Galus during World War I, but that is a minority, it's a minority of his writings. Then Rav Kook passes away in 1935. Then two things happen. Number one is the Holocaust. Rav Kook, there's nothing in his writings. People say maybe there's one passage where he seems to indicate something might happen. There's really nothing in his writing that indicates something as cataclysmic as the Holocaust is going to take place in the middle or in the beginning, really, of this process of Geula. Then, a couple years later, the State of Israel is founded. And the State of Israel, it exists. It's there in 1948, 1949, and 1950, and it is nothing like Rav Kook describes. It's a poor country, it's a weak country, it's a country that is predominantly irreligious, it is a country that is dominated by the irreligious secularist parties that are anti-religious. And yes, there are more and more Jews that are coming, and there are more and more Jews that are making Aliyah, but the State of Israel itself is very far from Yisod Kisei Malchus Hashem Ba'olam, from being this place where mitzvos are supernatural and Am Yisrael is coming together, and you just get off the plane, you feel like you're at home. That's not Medinat Yisrael of the late 40s, early 50s. So you have Rav Kook describing how all these factors are coming together, Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and a spiritual renaissance and Kibbutz Golios, and all these things are happening, and there's a huge tumult, there's a huge uproar in the world. And Rav Kook describes these things as a process, and all of a sudden you have the Holocaust, and all of a sudden you have the State of Israel, but it's very, very far, very distant than the way Rav Kook describes it. So what do you do if you are a student of Rav Kook in that situation? So you can imagine going in different directions. So what we're going to do today is to chart in very general terms the way Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, who was Rav Kook's son, and his Yoresh, who became the Rosh Yeshiva of Rav Kook's Yeshiva Merkaz Rav, the way he applied his father's teachings to the Metzios, to the reality that he was living in the late 40s, 50s, 50s, and 50s, and into the 60s. And we'll see that there might have been other ways which you could have imagined it, but this is the way Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook understood, interpreted, and applied his father's teachings. Who was Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook? So he was born in 1891. He passed away in 1982. He's Rav Kook's only son. He was by his father's side all throughout. He made Aliyah. I think he was a teenager, based on the years, when he made Aliyah. He learned, his father sent him from Yafo to Yerushalayim to learn in the yeshivos in Yerushalayim. And then he was by his father's side, and he also traveled around Europe on his father's behalf. He was like his father's Shamash, his father's Askan. There's amazing correspondences back and forth. Rav Tzvi Yehuda was like a late teenager, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, and you see Rav Kook is treating him like a grown-up, responsible, a Talmid Chacham, clearly a very mature, very huge Talmid Chacham, a very, very capable person. In 1952, after Rav Kook passes away, Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap, one of Rav Kook's elder Talmidim, takes over Merkaz Rav. It still remains as a very small yeshiva. Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap passes away in 1952. Rav Tzvi Yehuda takes over the yeshiva, and he transforms it over the course of the next couple of decades from a small yeshiva to a powerhouse, to the ideological powerhouse of the religious Zionist community. I think there were a couple of decades where I don't remember the stats. I once read them, but it's a high percentage of the rabbanim in the religious Zionist community are being produced by Merkaz Rav. How many other yeshivas are there? It's Kiryat Yavna. Gush starts at some point. I think Akoto starts at some point. But Merkaz Rav is really the ideological powerhouse. Great. So what does Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook say about how are we supposed to think about the state of Israel in the late 50s, early 60s? In the late 40s, early 50s. So we're going to go through pieces from a couple of different passages from speeches Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook gave. So look in source number one. This is a speech Rav Tzvi Yehuda gave in the 1950s. It was published in the book L'Netivot Yisrael, Chelek Aleph Mayim Ramem. That was given by Rav Aviner. The title wasn't given by Tzvi Yehuda. The title was given by Shlomo Aviner, who was the Orech, who was the editor of this book. Hamedina Kitkaimut Chazon HaGula. So you sort of get a sense of where the essay is going. Rav Tzvi Yehuda starts off as follows: Chazon Gulatam Shel Yisrael, the vision of the redemption of the Jewish people, Mitzgaleh B'Torah Uvenevuah, that is revealed in Torah and Nevuah, Mitzpareish Mitzpareh B'Torah Shel Peh, and it's explained even more in Torah Shel Peh. So the vision of the Gula of Am Yisrael is there. It's explicit. Read Tanakh, read Torah, read Nevi'im, read Ksuvim, read Midrashim, read Rishonim, read Achronim. You will get the picture of what the process of Gula is going to be. What is the process of Gula? Again, this is all from the first couple paragraphs in the speech. It's a 10-page speech. Kmo shagolos hi harisas chayei ha'uma v'nitukah mimkoma. Just as Gullus is defined as the destruction of national life when the Jewish people get uprooted from their place, Galino Miratzino Minisrachno Mial Anmasenu, they were exiled from our homeland. Kena Gula, she bitula shall Gullus, Hiakamas Chaye Huma, Bityashubusak, Kadem, Bikishura the Mukuma. What is the definition of Gullus that Tzvi Yehuda gives over here? The destruction of national life and Am Yisrael leaving Eretz Israel. What's the flip side then, which is Geula? The return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Israel and the reorganization, the reigniting of Jewish national life in Eretz Israel. What is missing from that definition of Geula? Anything about Torah. That's the second shlah. That's exactly where he's going. Kmo shetachnitah shel Geula Rishona mistayemet b'via al Eretz Moresha to Avos, shima tbila b'dvar Hashem Moresha to Raso. The same way the first Geula, Gulas Mitzrayim concludes with Bnei Yisrael entering Eretz Yisrael, which is called the Moresha, same way Torah is called the Moresha. Kain Tachnita Shal Gula Achrona Mitzayemet B'Chazarai Al Moresha Zo Homedes Le'Olam V'Kemes La'Ad V'Netzach U'Mechadet. Let's stop over there for a second. The same way the first Gula concludes with Am Yisrael entering Eretz Yisrael, similarly the last Gula is all about Am Yisrael getting back to Eretz Yisrael. That is the definition of Gula. Again, just as a contrast, if you ask the Ramban, say for a Geula, say for Shemos, where does the Geula end according to the Ramban? Har Sinai, when there's a Mishkan, when the Shechina is Shora. That is the definition of Geula. It's Yehuda is cutting off, at least the first, Rav Tzvi Yehuda obviously cares about Torah, he cares about Mitzvot, cares about God, he cares about Judaism. But he's defining the first stage of Geula in such a way that it's not dependent on any of those things. What happens next? Once you're back in Eretz Yisrael, once you have this Geula, then you can have a renewal of Jewish life with all of its original force once you're back in Eretz Yisrael living as a nation. And he says the same way Galus causes Tuma, Kena Geula, after the three dots, at the ellipsis, Shibitzu HaGalus, which is the nullification of the Galus, Mechadashes Bekomavus Tarasa.
So
The same way galus, when you leave Eretz Yisrael, you become tamei. When you get back to Eretz Yisrael, which is geula, what is the result of getting back to Eretz Yisrael? Taras hanefesh. There's going to be geula seinu is first, and after geula, there's padus nafshenu, there's the redemption of the neshama. So again, last time we were learning together, like a month ago, we went through parts of Rav Kook's speech at the Misbeid Yerushalayim, the eulogy or non-eulogy he gave at a Herzl memorial ceremony. And it was all about, there are two stages. There's the Chamrios, there's the physical building up of Am Yisrael, and then there's the Ruchnios, there's Yosef and there's Yehuda. And Mashiach and Yosef comes before Mashiach and David. Over here, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook is living in a time period when there already is the Medina of Yisrael. And he's saying, what is this time period defined as? Geula. Padus nafshenu, we don't have yet. Is it a full geula? No. But we're living in a time period where you can use the term geula. Schalta to geula, in the middle of geula, something of that sort. But that term is applicable to our metzias now, because we have returned to Eretz Yisrael, and not just as individuals, we have renewed a national life in Eretz Yisrael. And that is what the Medina does. Medina is the renewal of the national life. The correlate here, what is the Yetzias Mitzrayim? That's, I don't know, I guess that's the process of running out of Golos. But.
I mean, if you're missing the Torah or the Torah element of it.
Yeah, so that's a, and later on in the speech, he relates to that. That for the last Geula, the Torah is the crown jewel, which could only happen after Am Yisrael regains national life in Eretz Yisrael. Then Torah Sashal Mashiach is going to be revealed. But it's a necessary stage, bonin b'chov akak maktisha, and first you need a renewal of national life, and then you need a platform upon which to build. But yeah, but the parallel is not exactly, is not 100%. So then he's like, but great. So maybe, so geula is defined as the renewal, did I skip something? Yeah, sorry, next paragraph. Again, this is taking a cherry picking from a long speech, so I apologize for that. But you can look it up yourself if you want, or you just email me. I can send you the PDF of the whole thing. Bereishis hadiyon, beginning of the next paragraph. Bereishis hadiyon al biru hiskan musoham mashesh chazon agula. At the beginning of the diyon, when you want to discuss, is this the real thing? Is this the real fulfillment of the vision of geula? Kavua lenu ha'ra'ah b'rush achamino zokan levacha. We have to keep in mind very strongly the kvios of that statement that Chazal gave us. Right, this is a passage in Talmud Yerushalmi. Two Amorayim were walking around Har Arbel, and they see the sun rising slowly over the mountain. And one of them says to the other, I'm forgetting the names, I apologize. One of them says to the other, it's Kach Gulasam Shel Yisrael Kima Kima. That this is also the way the Jewish people are going to be redeemed, a little bit at a time. The sun is slowly rising above the horizon. And slowly, the rays of the sun are slowly spreading across the land. That is the geula of Am Yisrael. So similarly over here, is this the ultimate geula? No. Are we there yet? No. Do we have the ruchnius that we want? No. You know, the people in charge are basically secular communists who are allied with Stalin at the time. It's a little bit of a crazy mitzvah. They are actively taking Taimani children and putting them in secular school systems. We aren't talking about the biggest tzaddikim in the world from a religious perspective. But Ben Gurion's picture was still up in Rav Tzvi Yehuda's office because he was the main person responsible, he's on the ground, for this first stage of Geula. In Kema Kema, things are slowly going to develop. Harazos mishtakepet hi bibura akol moleis shleimusa shel Geula. And he goes on to prove from Psukim and Torah and Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and Chazal that they're all into this idea of Kima Kima. Then he's like, great, so you don't need the ultimate level of spirituality, everything I've Cook described about the Noam and the Ziv and how Judaism is so amazing and life here feels so spiritual, happy, spiritually enjoyable. You don't have that at the first stage. But Lamaisa, we have the opposite. The people in charge are not from, and very often they're anti-Torah. Then he says, "Amnam." Skipping down to the last paragraph of the section, "Amnam keini maskanas atzavarim achronim shav Yeshua shalacha kamosu the gabi abidazar besanhedrin v'achleit sheyisrion nagalim b'keitz agula lo b'tshuva lo b'masim tovin." There is machlokas in the Gemara. Does the geula is the geula preconditioned on tshuva? Rabbi Elazar says yes. Ein yisrion nagalim el b'tshuva, and that seems to be the way the Rambam paskins that the Jewish people need to do tshuva in order to have a geula. Rabbi Yeshua in that Gemara says no. that the being kach or being kach, you still on the golem. Whether they do tshuva or don't do tshuva, gula happens. Now, Rabbi Yehuda works for several pages trying to argue that Rabbi Yeshua is the maskana of the Gemara. The Jewish people, the redemption of the Jewish people, the gula of the Jewish people is not dependent on tshuva. It's dependent on some divine plan. This is a time period Hashem wants Am Yisrael to return. That is the definition of gula. The next stage, the spiritual stage, obviously does require tshuva, and that's going to happen at some point in the future. We know exactly when. No, we have a responsibility to try to accelerate it, but we know what the process is, and right now we can define our time period as the beginning of gula or gula or something of that sort, even though the people in charge, Arob Am Yisrael, have not yet done tshuva. Fantastic. So this is the, you get a, obviously it goes on for 10 pages, this is the sense of this essay, the speech really, probably the more famous speech, if people are familiar with anything from its Yehuda, anything written, it's Mizmar Yotet LeMedinat Yisrael. So this speech is both very important in terms of the content and also the context. Every year on the night of Yom HaTzmaot, there was a big party, a big celebration in Merkaz Rav, and Tzvi Yehuda would speak. The speeches were always very celebratory, as you might imagine. The 1967, the winds of war are already around. Tzvi Yehuda gets up in Hay Eir 1967, and you guys are probably familiar with this, he starts speaking about the way he felt in 1948 when the State of Israel was founded. And you would expect him to be elated, to be joyful, to be dancing in the streets. He says he was personally in mourning. He cried. He couldn't go outside and dance with the people in the streets. Why? Because the partition plan had been actualized. And Eifo HaChevron Shalano, Eifo Yerushalayim Shalano, Eifo HaShchem Shalano, and he spoke about that he wasn't able to celebrate with the people. Until Yaakov Moshe Chalap, I'm forgetting who went to the other one's house. Yaakov Moshe Chalap also was one of the elder students of Rav Kook. They got together and they were crying together, and then they told each other, or Yaakov Moshe Chalap told Tzvi Yehuda, we have to go out and celebrate with the people, because B'nai Yisrael, Am Yisrael is celebrating now, and something gadol has happened. That's the way he started off the speech. There are clips of it online, you can listen to it, the total passion is there. From there, he transitioned, talking about the value of Yom HaTzmaot. Of course, what happened a couple months later, and they got back all these places, and when they asked Rav Tzvi Yehuda afterwards, why did you choose to speak about this year? Like, what did you have, like, did you know, what did you have a Ruach HaKodesh, or something happened? The quote they have from him is, Lo Dibarti, Ela Nidbarti. I didn't speak, I was, like, spoken through. It sounds like wasn't planning on speaking about Shechem and Hebron and Yerushalayim in that year, but he got up there, he felt like it was the right thing to do, he started talking about it, and then the Six-Day War happened, and they got all those places back. That line, I surely should have brought it in. There's this cute comic book I think I've referenced before, Higi Azman. It's a nine volume series of a time traveling Dati Lumi family where they go back to all the important points in Jewish history. So one of the points where they go back to, in addition to Matan Torah and the original Knesset La'aretz and things like that, is Rav Tzvi Yehuda's speech, Mizmor Yotet LeMedinat Yisrael, and that line of Lo Dibarti Ela Nidbarti appears in the comic books. So my kids are familiar with it from age, I don't know, 7, 8, or 9. You see, like, culturally, which types of things get transferred at what ages. I only discovered this in my 20s when I started reading up on these things. Anyway, so Rav Kook, sorry, Tzvi Yehuda Kook writes as follows. Yish Gedolim, this is coming from the middle of the speech. Yish Gedolim Arayim Es'erach Yom Medina Seinu Mitzad Ashuah V'Tzalah Shebo. There are some Gedolim that see the value in Medinat Yisrael because there was a salvation for many hundreds of thousands of Jews, millions of Jews. He doesn't quote sources. If you read things from the Lubavitch Rebbe about the State of Israel, this is his Lent motif. State of Israel is a chesed from Hashem. We have to say thank you to Hashem for it because it saved the physical lives of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Jews over the years. But that's it. Nothing more. I actually brought a sicha from the Lubavitch Rebbe where he says the definition of geula is a reversal, not of Nisrachakto Miyad Maseinu. The definition of Geula is a tikkun of Mipnei Chataeinu. You have to go back with three words in that statement. And therefore, while we still have Chataim, while Jews are still being born in Galus, that means we have a mission in Galus to fix our Chataim, and the main setting of the mission of the last generation is in Galus. It's not in Eretz Israel. And if you go to Eretz Yisrael, you are basically taking the avir of Eretz, the avir of Chutz La'aretz, and all your chatayim, and your lack of tshuva, and your lack of fulfillment of the mission in Chutz La'aretz, you're taking that with you to Eretz Yisrael. So he's like, the Rav is like, look, he's like, it's a free country, it's what he says. People have free choice. You want to make aliyah, you can make aliyah. But you just realize you are taking the avir of Chutz La'aretz and the avir of the chatayim of Chutz La'aretz with you when you make aliyah, and that is going to be bad for you and bad for Eretz Yisrael. It's like if you feel like your mission is in Eretz Yisrael, if you're born in Eretz Yisrael, you culturate well, whatever it is, it's okay, you should go. But for the average person born in Chutz La'aretz, their mission is where they're born, and therefore aliyah is not necessarily going to be in the plans. It's a little bit more nuanced than that, but that's more or less the Lubavitcher Rebbe's approach. So the Rav Tzvi is like, some people see the state of Israel is a great thing, but only because of the Yeshua Shiva. You're talking about messianic process, Geula. That's up for God. Like, why are you thinking about God's mind? Underline part. We're talking about Mefurish Gemaras, Mefurish Psukim. It's like, these are the Psukim, and they're happening in front of you. You just open up your eyes and see them. This is not Nistarot, it's not hidden things. These are explicit Psukim. And he goes on to say that in Yisrael Negalim El B'tshuva is a rejected. We paskin, B'nai Yisrael could be redeemed even without tshuva, and we are redeemed now, despite the fact that we haven't yet done tshuva. Then he's like, look at the next paragraph. Tokidei biyuri dvarim shalaka, amarli gadol akad. A gadol once told me, ki yom atzmot, im kol chashiv l'tol mitzvah l'tshuva batzala, kedusha inbo, there's no kedusha sayom to yom atzmot. Again, it's a day of celebration, we got to be in Israel, people were saved, there was a war, and we were saved from the war, whatever it was, I guess the war started Yom Ha'atzmaut, but whatever, you can understand that there's a physical safety of Jews was increased with the state of Israel, but there's no Kedusha. And Rav Tzvi says, what are you saying? Kedusha is not dependent on whether or not I feel there's Kedusha. Kedusha is a divine reality. It's a metaphysical reality. If God says there's Kedusha, then there is Kedusha. God told us in the Torah, in Tanakh, in Midrashim, in Rishonim, through the Akronim, through the entirety of the Torah, that the Jewish people returning to Eretz Israel and reestablishing their national life there, that is Geula. And if that doesn't cause Kedusha, I don't know what causes Kedusha. So it's not up to you, oh yes, there's a major Yeshua, but there's no Kedusha Sayom, there's no Kedusha, it's not anything more than a bunch of Jews being saved in Frankfurt, and they have the Purim to Frankfurt, or whatever it is. No, this is the Geula. Just open up your eyes and read Tanakh. Like, look at the underlying part. Kedusha hi mitziyut mamashit realit. Kedusha is a metaphysical reality. Below prose of Rikshit and Oshia. It's not like, oh, I feel there's Kedusha here, and therefore there's Kedusha. Mitziyot HaKedusha inen HaKedbal Yadino. It's not up to us. Yeah, you think Ben-Gurion is in charge, and therefore it's hard for you to feel connected to in a Torah Nebuchadnezzar way to Medinat Yisrael. That's your problem. It's not God's problem. It doesn't mean there's no Kedusha here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kava sha'anu hinenu am kadosh. God said we are an am kadosh. Mitziyot v'abdotit sh'neshamot kedushot beguf kadoshim. God said we're an Am Kadosh. When we connect to Eretz Yisrael, that creates Kedusha. Next paragraph. Again, I'm skipping a lot, but next paragraph is the main one. Ulamot Mashen Amar, based in corresponding to what people say. Ha'im zu ha'medina sh'otach hazu nevi'enu. Like, we waited 2,000 years for this, for Ben-Gurion as the Rosh Memshalah, for kidnapping Timani kids and sending them to secular institutions. Like, that's what we're waiting for. Omar ani zoi hamedina shakazo neviim. Yes, this is the country, this is the state that the neviim foresaw. Kamuvan, ina medina v'tachkot ha'shlemot. But it's not perfect yet. Olam nevi einu v'rabotinu mamshichem amru shamedina k'tia kazo. But we have a Mesorah. Open up your eyes, read Tanakh, and you will see. Zera avram yitzav Yaakov yoshu muv yakimu batukuma yishuvit v'shtoto medini atzma'i. Stage one is Bnei Yisrael returning to Eretz Yisrael and setting up a regular state. In Yechezkel, it doesn't tell us, when it talks about God forcing Bnei Yisrael back into Eretz Yisrael, God v'chima shvucha, with anger and wrath, God forcing Am Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't say that people are tzaddikim. Just as God will force them to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and that is a Kiddush Hashem, and that is stage one of the Geula. And he talks about agriculture. The Yechezkel talks about, in Chakitz Megula Mizeh, the Gemara Sanhedrin, The revealed end is when the agriculture flourishes in Eretz Israel. That's happening. Bnei Israel are back. These nevuos are being fulfilled. So this is the country. Is it perfect? No. Stage two of these prophecies have not yet been fulfilled. But we're in the middle between stage one and stage two. So of course we're supposed to celebrate. Of course there's Kedusha here. Of course we could say, this is the country that God, that the prophets foresaw. And therefore, then there are so many ramifications of this. Therefore, our identification with the country, our identification with the symbols of the country, our integrating our celebration of the country into our religious lives. Our kids don't know, kids in the Dati Lumi school system don't know the difference between Yom Ha'atzmaut and Shavuos, or Yom Ha'atzmaut and Pesach. It's celebrated the same way. Obviously, it's not exactly. But, you know, it probably takes them a while to figure out that these things aren't in Chumash, because they're given such weight in the school system. All of these things, from a non-religious Zionist perspective, are very strange. It's like, yeah, you want to thank God for the state of Israel. There was a Yeshua, there was a Hatzalah. Now Jews could live in Eretz Israel again. That's great. That's a mitzvah. There's so many other mitzvahs. This doesn't raise this to the epitome of importance that it gets such major weight. What about the symbols of the state of Israel? What about the Israeli flag? Is that something which I should look at and think of it in religious terms? The Babaji Rebbe, again, was super into thanking God for the state of Israel, super into thanking God for the Yeshuos of Tzahal. The first American organization, I think, that helped Nechei Tzahal was the Babaji Rebbe. I think it was the first religious organization that sent Rabbanim, you know, with every army unit, was Chabad. But he didn't use the term Medinat Yisrael, because it's the Medina that's in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not Medinat Yisrael. It's a country. Great, the Jews can self-cover. That's amazing. Is that anything? Does that have anything to do with the Geula? No. It's a Yeshua. It's Hatzalah. That's amazing. Great. Thank God for it. But you can't really make it a centerpiece of your religious life. For Reb Tzvi Yehuda Kook, this is it. This is the Geula. Advancing this process becomes the main thing to do. You look at the next paragraph. It's 19 years. We've already seen development. The process is unfolding. We could see Hashem's secrets unfolding in front of our eyes. Again, there's a whole long list of things. Ruchaniyot is the last one. But we're seeing slow development in all of these areas. Whether or not the people in charge realize what's going on, it doesn't matter. The development is happening. It's evolving. It's advancing. And it's a divine process that God put in order. God said go. And it is unfolding. So, does it bother Tzvi Yehuda Kook that we're not living in Yisod Kisei Malchus Hashem Ba'olam, and you get off the plane in the state of Israel, you don't necessarily feel enveloped with Kedusha the way of Kook described? It bothers him. Does that mean that all the predictions of Kook had and the entire process is not true? Absolutely not. If Kook himself described it as a process, we're in the middle of the process. So far, so good? So why is Mizmar Yitzet in Medinat Yisrael so important? Mizmar Yitzet was the 19th year. What does Mizmar Yitzet entail him? We say it in Shacharis and Pesukei Zimra of Shabbos. Lam Natzeach. I'm blanking on the actual words now, but it's a parak that was one of the favorites of the Rishonim to Darshan, because it starts off with 7 psukim about Teva. And the 8th pasuk is Torah Hashem Tzmima. So the Rishonim, the Ramban points this out. The Rishonim already points this out that you have 7 psukim about praising Hashem through Teva. L'matzeach mizmar David and Hashemayim misaprin kvod keol maaseh da magid rakia yom 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 abiyah umir v'layla chavadas ino mervin devarim v'shpilinish makolam chol ha'aretz atzakavam v'kseh sivel milayam. Talking about the sun and the earth and everything in the planet earth sings Hashem praises. 7 psukim of that, and then the 8th pasuk, Torah is Hashem Tmima Meshivas Nefesh. Torah is on top of everything. Idus Hashem Ne'eman HaMakim Es Pesi. So how does that fit in with the story of Tzvi Yehuda Kook is telling over here? That's exactly Medinat Yisrael. The first 7 psukim, the stage one, is the Teva, it's Metzios, it's reality. It's getting a country in order, you're becoming strong again. And obviously, at the same time, trying to increase Ruchniyot as much as possible. But the Ruchniyot is going to be built on top of that. That's the 8th pasuk of Torah Hashem Tmima. And then the last couple of paragraphs are like, even though I'm saying all this, let's just look at the last paragraph on this verse 2, and on the second side of the page. Einanu machnifin l'apikursim chas v'shalom. This doesn't mean that we're machnif apikursim. It doesn't mean that we're matzik what apikursim are doing, and this doesn't mean that we have to look up to them as our role models for everything. Yish Medinat Yisrael, the very machivim, sheish ben chel Hashem ruba. There is so much chel Hashem in Medinat Yisrael. But the Kiddush Hashem outweighs the chel Hashem. Gadol Kiddush Hashem, Yosem Echel Hashem, it's a statement in Chazal, and that is the Metzius of Medinat Yisrael. So it's our mission to try to accelerate the process as much as possible, but this is the process, as this is the way you should understand what is going on over here. Great. And then the Six-Day War happens, and you can imagine that people are really bought into this. What does the Six-Day War do to them? It's the concretization of everything that Tzvi Kook is saying. We're getting more land. There was a major spiritual revival in Eretz Israel after the Six-Day War. We have the Kotel, we have Har HaBayis, we have the Mekomos HaKadoshim, we have Chevron. Not just land to do agriculture, we have the Mekomos HaKadoshim now. And we have more land, there's a spiritual revival. This is exactly the process as it's unfolding. This is the Hitkashmo, this is the fulfillment of everything Tzvi Kook was saying in the speech. The process is unfolding, and Hashem did an ace, and the process just accelerated in an exponential way. But then the question is, what happens in the 73 war, in the first Lebanon war, the second Lebanon war, in the first Intifada, second Intifada? It seems like a little bit stuck at some point. And then maybe next time we meet, we can discuss how Tzvi Yehuda's students deal with that mitzvah of the seemingly stuck reality. And what aspects of our Cook's teaching should be emphasized in a time period like now, where thank God things, the Israel is in a place where it was, in terms of everything, it's in a place where it's never really been before, in terms of material and economic flourishing and spirituality and the amount of Torah that's here, but things still don't seem like we like Geula. We don't feel like we're redeemed when we live here, at least not everybody does at every second of the day, the way Rav Kook describes. Great. So the next 10 minutes, I want to do a little bit about the Holocaust. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook directly addressed the Holocaust. Again, Rav Kook, the father, describes the process. The process is optimistic. The process is unfolding. It started. We're in the middle of it. The Holocaust doesn't factor in at all. He died in 1935. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, again, has to interpret the Holocaust in light of his father's teachings. As a contrast, in 30 seconds, Rav Soloveitchik, called it a fake. He gave a landmark speech about Zionism and the Holocaust. What is his take on the Holocaust? You can't ask questions. You can't explain why. We're never going to understand God's ways. You can't explain history. It's not. We have to have anivos and anava when we think about why God does things. The only thing we could do is react. We can't ask the why question. We can ask the what question. Because the Holocaust happened, what is our responsibility now, post-Holocaust? Soloveitchik is like this all throughout. You cannot interpret God's past and history. We don't know why things happen when they happen. When they asked Rev Lichtenstein, what's the message of 9/11? He gave a whole long speech saying that I'm a student of Rev Soloveitchik. When I was taught to have a nivus when we're thinking about God's ways, we don't know why 9/11 happened. You want to ask me what should our reaction be? What lessons should we take from it? That's a different question. That's a halachic question. Halakha teaches us what to do when a tragedy happens. But do we know why the tragedy happens? Can we understand God's ways in history? Absolutely not. Rav Kook is the opposite in terms of darshaning history. Rav Kook is not all about, but a lot of Rav Kook is doing is reading Jewish history, understanding it, reading the Kabbalistic sources he has and the regular Torah sources he has, putting two and two together and seeing, like, look, this is actually happening. Whatever it says in these books is happening, and I can show you how it's happening. There's an historical process here. That's exactly what Rav Tzvi Yehuda does with the Holocaust. Take it or leave it, like it or don't like it, but this is what he says. So this is Sichot Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, Moadim Aleph HaShoah Sicha Aleph. I don't remember what year he gave us. The first thing he says is, Ein Levo B'Koshot Zuhunot Al Rabbeinu Shoah. We don't complain to Hashem. We don't know why Hashem does what he does. That's stage one. What's stage two? HaKol B'Avisot Hashem. Everything happens because of Hashem's secrets. We don't really know why God does what he does. It sounds like it's going in the Rav Soloveitchik direction. To start asking why God made the Holocaust is childish. So good, up until there, you're on board with your average modern Orthodox Jew. It's something which Rav Soloveitchik emphasized 100 times over. But then read the second half of the sentence. Rav Bezirut Gedula Mitoch Bagrut Ruchonit Efshar Legashe Linyan Narazeh. But with great care and from spiritual maturity, can we start approaching this horrible event? We have to remember Shekayam abdil bin cheshbon eloki l'cheshbon enoshi. God's cheshbonos are different than our cheshbonos. Hashkafah mitzit v'munah mitzit kolot gam habanach shnuz avador. You won't understand God's ways? Don't just look at the generation of the Holocaust. Were they deserving, not deserving? You have to, God's expanse encompasses all of history. Zechor yemosela binu shnuz avador. Habanot hitzgalut Hashem bo'olam mikol ha'shtochim. You want to understand God, you have to understand God through every medium through which God reveals himself to you. It's galut Hashem b'teva. This is classic rachok. Hashem reveals himself to you through nature. It's galut Hashem b'historia. God reveals himself to us through history. B'shnos dor v'dor. And this is, again, this is we have an obligation to darshan history because we connect to Hashem through trying to figure out why God causes certain historical events to happen so that we can know where are things headed, so that we can try to help accelerate the process. Next paragraph. Ribono shel olam sider et ha'historia kach shebemashach zman mesuyam niya begalut, ve'achach u'mesovek et ha'sipot, kach shebetalich ha'nimshach mekama darot, klal yisrael matzkel le'torer. God set things from the start. There is galus, and then there's going to be ge'ula. Again, is ge'ula dependent on our free choice? Absolutely not. Is it dependent on our tshuva? Absolutely not. God set this process into motion, that there is going to be a time period when Am Yisrael is supposed to come back to Eretz Israel. It's Nariyam Yafrakumi. Yisrael Halechem Itzkarev, it's Orot Shlema. In the Talach Pashut Kolkach, it's not so easy for Am Yisrael to come back to Eretz Israel. Yishma Tzavim Shekasheli Yitzek Menegalot. It's hard to leave your home of 1900 years. Ava Harei Higiyah Tzmah Shetzkiyah Ta'am Megulat Eretz. Higiyah Ketz Megulah Shata Atem Harei Yisrael Anfachem Titendu Greifim Tisu Am Yisrael Kikirvu Lavo. The time period, God was sort of caught in a bind. On the one hand, from the timeline that God set up from the start, the time of Am Yisrael's return to Eretz Yisrael and the time of Geula had started, should have started. But Am Yisrael are staying in Galus. There are all these messengers and messages of the rise of nationalism and Herzl's success and the British takeover of the Ottoman Empire and the fact that there more and more Jews were coming and anti-Semitism in Europe. There are so many messages God was trying to get through to the minds of Jewish people. Time has come to come back. Now is the time of Geula. Am Yisrael didn't listen. Am Yisrael didn't come back. Look at the next paragraph. Time has arrived. They were supposed to leave Galus. God is sort of caught in the bind. He wants Gula to happen. Am Yisrael doesn't want. Am Yisrael is not listening. They're not redeeming themselves. Next paragraph on the underlying parts. Az matzil tipu eloki pnimi amok minister shall titarut mitamazu nituach ripoy. There is what is a nituach? A surgery. Kol amilyonim shabi Yisrael himyachad guf echad. The millions of Jews are one organism. Organism echad. Mashum mitakev mi bibratzo beglad bikotol beratzamim. And when Am Yisrael refuses to get better because of their devikos, it's too galus. Yishtorach b'nituach eloki achzari. What is this called? An amputation. There is a cruel divine surgery. The time has come for Am Yisrael to come back. God has to force them to come back. And what was the Holocaust? It was that. It was God's nituach achzari, God's cruel amputation, to force the hand of Am Yisrael to get out of Galus and get back to Eretz Yisrael, and 3 years later, Medinat Yisrael was founded. What do you think? There is a prominent. Sounds like Imran Smeiko. Yeah, he was experiencing. I guess it's one thing if you're experiencing it to say it. I'm not judging, but you see how convinced. You see the Shita, that the process of Geula is happening. It's determined by God. It's not dependent on Tshuva. Geula is the return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. And these things are historical processes that God sets up. It's not totally in Tshuva. But Am Yisrael is not listening. So Rav Kook never foresaw it, because it wasn't the way it was supposed to happen, so to speak. Am Yisrael was supposed to get the message and listen to all those Kol Koreis Rav Kook was sending out Eretz Yisrael to just make Aliyah and leave Galus, but they weren't doing it. And therefore Hashem had to force Am Yisrael's hand to come back to Eretz Israel And that's why the Holocaust had to happen. You see the difference between, I guess, modern Orthodox America in terms of the perspective about the Holocaust and in this perspective. Again, Rabbi Soloveitchik was adamant. You can't give a reason. You just react to it. In any explanation you give is going to belittle the death or whatever it is. Because you never understand God's ways and histories, and particularly as something on the scale of the Holocaust. The Babish Rebbe, who was perfectly fine darshaning history with every other thing that happened except for the Holocaust. There's this whole myself with Rav Shach said something that the Holocaust happened because of Israel's sins, and the same thing can happen again, and he went ballistic. He's like, the Holocaust didn't happen because of Bnei Israel's sins, and something on this scale is joke. It's just like where the Gemara says about Rabbi Akiva, shtok kach alav makshava lefanai, just be quiet, this is what I decided. There's certain things that happen that don't have an explanation. And that's the Holocaust. So, but Rav Zvi Yehuda Kook seems to be perfectly comfortable, but very carefully giving an explanation as to why this had to happen based on the Shita about the process of Geula. I first came across this actually not in the sequel of Rav Zvi Yehuda Kook. You guys ever read the book Mechtavim L'Talia?
In English.
So there's a book Mechtavim L'Talia. It's a series of letters back and forth between a soldier who was unfortunately killed, a firm soldier, who was unfortunately killed in the 1973 war. Who went to KBY, who was friends with Chaim Sabato, who was a friend of Chaim Sabato who was killed from Tehillim Kavanot, and a secular kibbutznik teenage girl, who they met in some educational event, and they had a bunch of letters back and forth, all about, in Eretz Yisrael and Emuna and some personal stuff as well. When he was killed in battle, she kept all the letters, and decades later, with permission of the family, they were published. It's a fantastic read. It's really fantastic in the sense that it's a very emotional read, but also it's a good window into this hashkafa from somebody who's a Hesdernik. It's like he's learning in yeshiva in Kiryat Yavne. He went to hear of Tzvi Yehuda a couple of times. He says, if I recall correctly, he went to hear of Tzvi Yehuda, and he's explaining to this secular kibbutznik, like, this is what's happening. Like, Geula is happening. Am Yisrael is not realizing it. And she asked him about the Holocaust because all their, I think, her parents or grandparents, they're all, like, this is the 1960s and 70s. Like, they're all very close to the Holocaust. And he goes through this approach. He's like, I know you may not accept this. I know it's going to be very difficult to hear. But this is what I believe is why the Holocaust had to happen. And this is the way I make sense of it. He doesn't quote Tzvi Yehuda, but you can get a sense that this idea was in the air in this community. Let's just read the last paragraph of this speech about the Holocaust. After the last three lines, Rav Tzvi Yehuda is very careful. He says, like I already said, if you're not saying though that generation of Jews were Rishayim and therefore they deserve to die. And the existence of Am Yisrael as a nation, and more broadly, the entire advancement of human history, which is dependent on the Geula of Am Yisrael, that was what God was interested in. And that is a much broader issue than these particular people who were killed, unfortunately, in the Holocaust. So he's not victim-blaming, he's not blaming the people that were killed, but he is saying that it was necessary to advance human history as a whole through the advancement of the Geula of Am Yisrael. And then, just to conclude, I gave you, Rav Tzvi Yehuda gave a very celebratory speech after the Six-Day War, as you might imagine. So here are a couple lines from that speech. It's available online. Through looking very broadly at the path Hashem has given us, this holy path that the people that are redeemed can pass, through the fact that we won this war and we have more of Eretz Yisrael, we will get to that point of Kabbalas Olmach Hashemayim Shleima. We will be able to reach that level of Ruchnius that Rav Kook describes and that the Nevi'im describe as a second stage of Geula. It's starting now. And this, therefore, the Six-Day War is a watershed moment where the process of Geula is accelerating. We have more land, we have more Koach at an Chumrius level, At the same time, there's a spiritual revival, particularly around the Makomos HaKadoshim, and this is going to be an acceleration of the process of Geula. And then this ties into politics. The Gush Emunim of the movement to settle, to settle these places, comes out of its view to Kok Space Medrash. Because once you have it, more Eretz Yisrael for Am Yisrael is the part of the process of Geula. And these places are going to be have yeshivos, and they're going to be from places, and they're going to be they're going to be towers of light of what living an authentic from Eretz Yisrael Dika life communally, individually, and whatever could look like, and it's going to be mashpia on all of Am Yisrael. And Yirtzeh Hashem, maybe next time we meet, we'll. Again, this is I should have prefaced this way. This is not my field. I have not made a study of Svita Cook's writings. I don't claim any expertise. But these are the when I asked around different people, particularly when I was in Merkaz Zerah, like what is like the main things I should be reading. So some of these sichos came up. Ms. Mari Ted, the Medinat Yisrael for sure. And the first one, Hamedina Kit Kaimutz Chazon Agula. I was told these are central things to read if you want to understand the way of Svita Cook thought. About Medinat Yisrael. So maybe next time we'll look at some Talmidim of Tzvi Kok and try to take the story to the next to the next stage. And at some point we'll make our way back to Rav Kook himself. Thank you so much.